Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. You're going to be glad you did, because we got our good friend Janet Christie back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Janet is the author of Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. She is an expert in women business, women in business, women being successful in businesses. But she also knows a lot about just business, and so we get like a lot of extra stuff when Janet joins us. She's our good friend. Janet Christie, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. It's like a dream come true for you, isn't it, Janet, to be able to be on my show?
Oh, it is. Yes. I look forward to it at least once every 2 or 3 months.
Janet, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is let's not waste our summer. What do you think?
Yes. And I know everybody wants to have fun, and I'm certainly...
Fun? Fun? Who wants fun?
Well, and I'm an advocate of taking vacation, but I also know that at the end of the summer, you kind of like, did I accomplish anything?
Right.
So
it can slip away, can it?
Oh,
I mean, heck, June's over.
I know.
A third of the summer is gone. What have I gotten? What have I done?
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do?
Well, my suggestion is that you spend the time when you can hardly get a hold of anybody because they're on vacation or they're taking Friday afternoons off, that you spend a lot of time doing some research and getting prepared to really contact the right people and have the right message ready and do all that kind of thing when everybody gets back to work and is nose to the grindstone in September.
Well, here's one thing that you should have already done in April. You should have made sure any person that you thought was a key decision maker in your prospect list, you should have made sure by April or May that you surreptitiously, very subtly, very without them understanding why you're doing it, found out when they were going to be gone.
Oh, yeah. So that you don't send the information and it gets buried on their desk in the mail that
right.
takes them 3 weeks to go through.
Or if you work, and especially if you've got a deadline or something, or if you're a salesperson and you're trying to close out the quarter, the end of June, and the person that you who's going to make a decision is going to be gone when you need that decision made. You know, there are a lot of things. It's reconnaissance, isn't it?
Oh, it is, and that proves the point that you and I talk a lot about, is that you've got to know your customers and your prospects in order to sell to them.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that happens in the summer is people, and this is true for just about any government entity, their fiscal year ends June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost too late for people now, but maybe they can plan ahead for next summer. But they have money that they have to spend by June 30th.
Now, which groups are these?
Almost any local government, but even
okay.
a lot of state
local
agencies.
Government. I didn't realize that. I knew that they. That's right, because they're not on the same fiscal year with the federal government.
Right, and school districts are pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
The
You're
same.
Right, especially schools. Yeah, schools are especially.
I've made a lot of sales in May and June
because
they lose the money if
yeah.
they don't spend it.
And they're not wasting. It's not that they're wasting money. It's
yes.
just that it causes them to go ahead and make a decision. Right now, and if you're standing in front of them, they'll do it.
Yeah, and sometimes I've tried to get them to make a decision for 6 months, and then maybe the people that you deal with on a daily basis are trying to get their higher ups to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get it done, and all of a sudden it's like we're going to lose this money if we don't make this decision now, and it happens.
And sometimes they have to bid the jobs.
Oh, most of the time they do.
Most of the time they do.
Yeah.
And so what I always like to do, the trick that I found many, a few decades ago when I did a lot of business with schools and local organizations, is they can't show favoritism, but they can ask for help in writing the specs.
Oh, yeah, that's what when I'm in my workshops, I tell people you've got to affect the specs.
Yeah, tell us what the specs are.
Well, that is the very finite things that must be in the product or service that so it lists out what they need.
If it's a car, it's got to be the green car with the automatic transmission and power windows and AM, FM, but no XM and no moonroof and this kind of a bumper and a certain kind of a truck or whatever. And you get to help them write those specs
if
you get there early enough, because they need help with the specs. And so you're doing them a favor. And if the specs happen to favor your product a little more, well, guess what? That's what. Congratulations.
Because you spend the time educating them.
Right.
And you understand their needs, and you won't understand their needs if you don't do research.
That's right. So what we're saying, I guess, Janet, is that if you want to have a great summer, you better be busy in the spring.
Yes.
And
definitely.
So is it too late, though? Is it too late to redeem yourself for the summer?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Sometimes they don't make these decisions until the very last minute. So, you know, you could capitalize on the fact that they've got to spend some money by the end of June if you are very flexible. And, of course, small businesses can be more flexible.
That's who we are.
Yes. But also, it's time to do the research and to talk with them about maybe what they spent last year, because it's the end of their fiscal year. So it's a good time to see where they spend their money, where they think that their budget is in place now. They know where they're going to spend the money for the future. And, of course, that's government and education. And then there's still the businesses. You know,
right. Yeah, don't forget, you know, that Dennis just talking about local businesses, local government organizations like school boards and cities and counties and things like that. But we still got all these corporations out there, and more of them have calendar fiscal years.
Yes,
and so you still got lots of folks to call on. But the key is you know, there's always, have you ever seen the list of excuses for why you can't do business? There's like there's literally a list somebody put together. It's 365 excuses.
No.
You know what I mean? I can't. You know, nobody's going to make a decision today because of Christmas or the 4th of July or whatever, but there literally are about 365. Somebody came up with a reason every day of the year why somebody can't do business.
I could probably add to that list of why people don't do research.
Right. So folks, you know, the excuses don't cut too good at the utility department at the grocery store, do they, Janet?
Oh, no. That's like telling the policeman you didn't know the speed limit.
Exactly, yeah. Hold on to that thought. Is that what that peg meant on my speedometer? Is that what it meant when it went over to 75? 20 after the hour. Right back with Janet Christie. I'm Jim Blassingame. She's the author of Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. Santana bringing us back, 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, or if you just remember my name, jimblassingame.com, that'll get you to the place where you can find my blog, my knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can ask questions, get answers. You can find my my newsletter. You can subscribe to that. We'll send that to you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. And lots of other stuff there, including our Brain Trust. About 1,600 members of our Brain Trust, the smartest people on the planet with regard to small business. You got 5 seconds, you got 15 minutes, we got something that you can read or listen to, including the past work that Janet Christie and I have done together and the work that she's contributed to us, which we very much appreciate. She's the author of Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. Janet, give us your website and tell us how we can find you and your book.
The book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and the website is leverageanddevelopment.com. That's the name of my company.
And I'm on Twitter at Jim Blassingame. How about you?
I haven't done Twitter a lot yet, but I've done a lot of LinkedIn.
Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, I am.
What is your handle there?
I don't even know right now.
You don't
now.
Know?
I did it, but I really haven't used it because LinkedIn and Plaxo have been...
Are you using... And I'm not using Plaxo, but I'm using LinkedIn. I am on LinkedIn and I'm on Facebook.
Yeah, and I'm on Facebook.
Do you have Janet Christie on Facebook?
Yes.
Did you get that? Good.
Yes.
Get your name. Me too. So, folks, check that out. And See, Twitter. I'm not overdone about Twitter, but I do think Twitter is really good for somebody like you, Janet.
Yeah, it probably is. I've been real involved in a research project for a client, and I'm like, okay, now it's time to go back and do some of the stuff I tell other people to do.
Exactly. The cobbler shoe children have no shoes, right? Janet, let's talk about this summer. What are some other things that we need to do to maximize this summer?
Well, we were talking about excuses before the break, and I thought about doing the research, and if people want to spend more time with their families and that kind of thing, they don't have an excuse not to do the research now because there's Wi-Fi in so many places. So
right.
If you take kids to McDonald's or to the park and
right.
want to let them play, then that's fine. You can take your computer and you can do some research and look at some potential customers' websites and find out about them and, you know, what are they selling and how can you use their words to sell what you sell to them and
mm-hmm.
all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no excuse, and you just have to keep working, keep calling. I mean, when you know, as I said earlier, there's an excuse for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something, Janet. In my opinion, excuses are for losers.
Well, yeah. if you're just trying to find a reason why to not do something, it probably takes you as much time as it would to get it done.
Yeah, yeah, just do it. Just do the job, right?
Yeah.
What are some other things? What's new in the area of women business ownership?
Well, the federal government, you know, has the goal that they're supposed to spend 5% of the money that they spend, of all money that they spend, with women-owned businesses. And so far, nobody meets that goal except maybe one or two agencies.
Why? It's not just the company's fault, is it?
Okay, do we have the whole rest of your show to talk about? No, it's not just the company's fault. One of the main problems, I guess this is sort of a twofold problem. One is they can't find the women-owned businesses. The other is that women-owned businesses so often will either go into a business or structure their business around products and services that are not what the government agencies or the large corporations need.
Mm-hmm.
They also don't take advantage of subcontracting situations because it would be so much easier and they would be so more likely to get the business because being a small business, probably only do a part of it.
They don't need to think of themselves as a contractor. They need to think of themselves as a subcontractor.
Yes.
Or maybe a sub-subcontractor.
Oh, yes. And no matter how far down the supply chain it goes, they get
right.
to count that as toward that 5% goal. And that's just federal projects. Most
mm-hmm.
states have, you know, 10%. And most large corporations will have somewhere around a 10% goal for all minority-type businesses, including women.
It's not easy to be structured and to operate. It's not falling off a log easy to be structured and to operate in a way that government contractors and government entities can do business with disadvantaged minority women-owned businesses.
Oh, no.
It takes an intention, it takes research, it takes study, it takes help, which is what Janet does, and helps people to get this done. But once you've fallen into that groove, once your dovetail works into, you know, the sockets of these organizations, then it's just basically executing, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And right now, the stimulus money is coming down, and most of that stimulus money has to be spent. It's coming down in mainly two increments, one for this year and one for next year, and it has to be spent very quickly. So if businesses were in a position to be a subcontractor to somebody that's selling to the government, you know, mm-hmm. accomplishing one of those stimulus goals, then, you know, it's almost home free.
Right. Yeah. But you got a lot of work that has to be done in the meantime. And you can help them with that, Janet. And give us that website one more time.
Leverageanddevelopment.com.
Folks, I encourage you if you need some help with this, Janet's the person who can do that. Hey, Janet, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you next. Hey, work on that tan this summer, okay?
Oh, I am. With my laptop at the pool.
Exactly. Thanks, Janet. Quick break. Stay with me. Right back with Ivan Meisner, the world's expert on networking.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.